As we were worshiping this morning, I thought, wow, God just showed us a perfect example of what this year is and what he's actually doing in 2016 and 5776, as you well know, the year of the Vav, that's the year of connecting heaven and earth, or heaven and earth connects. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we see this happening, and he gave us an example, and he's also released the whole force of heaven to our side, to our aid. Is it just going to do that? That's all right.
I can't tell you.
Okay, it's cool. It's cool. So thank you for this privilege and this honor to share today. And I know it's mostly pastors here, but I do want to share from the heart of intercession. And the reason why I want to share that is because of this particular assignment. As you know, with Tennessee Reformation Prayer, you know, we've done a lot of prayer along with many other networks for many, many years. And we deal with Tennessee Reformation Prayer deals with a lot of specific strategic prayer and focused and targeted intercession and certain assignments. There's other prayer groups that focus on governmental things, and there's other prayer groups that have been going. There's been so much prayer that Capital Prayer that prays all night long. There's many, many, many prayer groups that have been praying for decades. There's a lot of I love intercessors. They're hidden people, but yet they're people of purpose, and they're pressing into the things of God. But we have entered into a season right now where God is connecting them all. And when I heard about the appeal to heaven, a national appeal to heaven, this came about from last year when several different streams of prayer networks. There was General's Intercession, there was Dutch Sheets, there was Lou Engle, there was Every Home for Christ, Intercessors for America, National Day of Prayer. Now, these are many different streams that all came together and said, we have got to it. This is a strategic year. We have to press in for this nation. This nation was birthed with the call of God upon it. Yes, there were many, you know, Columbus didn't discover it, and yes, there's been many other people that have been on this land. And yes, the native people were here first. But the history and the native, if you go back, they speak of Turtle Island and a people of a different color coming. They were people of the spirit, and there was going to be a people of the book that were going to come, and they had a peace that they needed. And so this nation was founded from people, those that have came with the gospel to have freedom, and that gospel was going to go from this nation throughout the world. That hasn't changed. Those two people groups were to unite together as one. And we know what's happened since then, but there's been a lot of prayer. So with all these prayer networks coming together, that speaks very highly that this prayer has been intensifying, this prayer has been accelerating, all these prayers behind the scenes, all these prayer movements, God is calling us together as one to come together in targeted intercession. And this, a national appeal to heaven, this specific prayer assignment is prayer walk. It's fasting, 40 days of fasting and prayer walking, the entire nation. And so it's calling on every prayer network. And as pastors, you can present this to your congregation and individual intercessors that are there, prayer groups, whoever that wants to be a part of it, they can go and prayer walk. And what we're asking you to do, and I'm going to get into this in just a minute, but what we're asking you to do is prayer walk your neighborhood, prayer walk your grocery store, prayer walk your sphere of influence, prayer walk whatever the Lord has laid upon your heart. And as you walk, what we're doing is pleading the blood of Jesus Christ over this area. We are inviting Holy Spirit to come and bring awakening and revival. It's a very, very simple assignment. But the reason why I jumped on board and said, I'll trumpet this call, this many streams, and this is what I love, that we all work together. We're the body of Christ. And so this is a beautiful picture this year, too, of just what you were mentioning before. We just lay down our own agendas and our own assignments and our own ministries, come together as a body for the purpose of Christ, that heaven will touch earth, and we will change the spiritual atmosphere of this nation and turn hearts back to God. And that, in changes laws and changes everything afterwards. Last year, I got to tell you this real briefly, because this is why I'm speaking. I like to be behind the scenes, as you guys know. I just like to pray, and I just like to be with God. But the Lord gave me a dream, three dreams last year. And after two of them, we were on a conference call with Cindy Jacobs, and she had just met with the Apostolic Council of Prophetic Elders, of which some of you know those that are on that. And there were several warnings, and this was last July the 14th. And she said, "Is anybody else getting any warning? We feel this urgency." And I didn't say anything, because I thought, well, here I am, you know, just little old me. Well, that night, I had another dream, the same dream for the third time. And in my mind, I was thinking this was about at the time that that Kerry was talking with the Iran nuclear deal. And so I thought, okay, this is a warning dream regarding that, what's going to happen to the nation if they sign that. And so that was what was in my mind. But the dream briefly was, I was in a house, it wasn't my house, the house was on fire, and I was trying to communicate, call 911, the phones didn't work, cell phones didn't work, call 911. I had someone came in who is an IT specialist and all that has all these communication specialists, and I said, "You need to call 911." They couldn't do it. And what ended up happening, we had to go out into the streets and yell, "Call 911, call 911," because the house was on fire. Of course, you personally check all your own stuff first, but then I realized it was also in regards to the nation. But what there was, and we see now many levels that it pertained to, because I wasn't the only one getting call 911 at that time. So the next day I sent out an email, those of you that are on my list, and it said, "Call 911, it's time to stand and to hold your ground." Well, what I didn't realize is the day after that was when we had a terrorist attack in Chattanooga, and we lost five of our homeboys, five of our men. So what this did to me personally, and I'm just sharing my heart real quick, and then we'll pray, because I just got to be, this is just who I am. So what it did is it reinforced to me that it's time that we need to secure our boundaries.
Yes.
And I'm not talking just about physical boundaries. I'm talking spiritual boundaries and moral boundaries in our own life and in our families and those around us. This was a call. We need to secure the boundaries. And here we're hearing a presidential candidate saying, "We need to build a wall." Well, no, we need to build Nehemiah's wall.
Amen.
We need to restore those places that are broken. I've been living out in Nehemiah for 12 years, so you'll have to forgive me. But that's what he's calling us to do, is to restore those broken places. And you are the gatekeepers. He's rehanging the gates. You're the gatekeepers. He's rehanging them, and you're the guards that catch it. So we're in a season of extreme outpouring of a passion, a renewed passion for prayer and for intercession. And there's multiple movements going on within the next 30 days. We've got a Azusa call that's happening in Los Angeles, which is absolutely amazing. There's, 93,000 that have registered so far that are coming there. And at the same time, we've got United Cry in Washington, D.C., and there's supposed to be 30,000 pastors. So we've got from coast to coast. We've got the Glory Train. I don't know if any of you know about that, with John Hamill, that is going around the entire perimeter of the nation, and they're going from stop to stop to stop. And that was in response to Bob Jones' words and many prophetic words. So it's important when you hear a prophetic word over your city, over your state, and over your nation, because just because it hasn't come to pass yet doesn't mean it's not going to. You partner with the prophetic and what the word of the Lord is saying over your region, over your city, and over your state, and over your nation, until it does come to pass. So we've got the Glory Train going on. Cindy's going to be in Faneuil Hall in Boston. Dutch Sheets and John Hamill and Matt Lockett are going to be at David's Tent. And that's on the 22nd, on the eve of, that's Passover. And it's going to be powerful. We've got Franklin Graham coming to Nashville on the America Tour. That's going to be on May the 3rd, and then on May 4th, the National Day of Prayer, and there'll be, 30,000 different people praying all over with that, besides our own Sarah Lowe in the region. So all of that was within the next 30 days. So what that tells me is that God has heard the prayers and he's accelerating the prayers. The prayers over years, they're building. And I felt it when you were leading worship that it was almost like these prayers have been, you know, with the space shuttle. You know, it needs the greatest force to get off the ground. And once it gets off the ground in the atmosphere, then it's easy and it just flies around. But it takes the greatest force. And I feel like the prayers have been accumulating, and this accelerated prayers of believers that haven't been praying for a long time, and those that have, coming together and uniting together with one purpose, is a liftoff. And we know that when the prayers ascend, they fill the bowls in heaven, and when they're full, they tipped out. And God is going to tip out and is already tipping out all those prayers all across the nation. And so it's a renewal and a revival, and we're seeing his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So real quickly, do I have permission just to share my heart just a little bit on the heart of an intercessor?
Yeah, please do.
Okay, and then we'll pray. Okay, so my life scripture is Isaiah 58:12. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundation. You'll be called the repairer of broken walls and the restorer of streets with dwellings or paths to walk in. And like you and all of you, I've got a passion to see restoration and reformation back to God-ordained biblical foundation. Anytime we see that, we know that when you're restoring a foundation, something has to be torn down first. And we have to tear the idols down, which is what we've all been doing. Hezekiah destroyed idolatry. Manasseh built up idolatry. Josiah destroyed false altars of idolatry. Jehoshaphat set the nation back up. And the first thing Jehoshaphat did, which I loved, was he tore down all the idols of Baal worship, but he reset the standard of worship for the nation. And I believe that's what God is absolutely doing, is resetting the standard of worship. Worship. And he also trained up the nation on the way they should go. The Bible said that they were trained for battle to serve in war and peacetime. That they were kingdom focused. A lot of people don't want to hear about spiritual warfare, but I've heard someone ask the question, how can you advance the gospel of peace with a heart of war? But we're at war, whether we choose to acknowledge it or not. Just being in a covenant relationship with Jesus places us in the context of war. Just ask any Christian business. Just ask a bakery out west. Just ask anybody who is publicly vocal on their faith in Jesus. You're placed in a context of war, but the issue isn't war. The issue is the heart, and it's a warrior's heart of love is what compels you to go out and to pray and to stand in the gap.
Yes.
For not only you, for your loved ones, for your city, for your state, and for your nation. So, and all that comes out of, it just comes out of intimacy. And when I was driving in here, every time I come down here, just month to month, we see that old structures have been torn down and new structures are being built.
Yeah.
And I always go by the pink sub shop that used to be there. And now, what is it called? Skyview Tower that's being built there? I thought, wow, that'll preach now. And I'm not a preacher, but that'll preach. And we see that God is absolutely tearing down old structures, and he's putting up new structures. And when you tear down, when you put up new ones that are going to, like tall buildings, you have to dig down deep into build a foundation. You've got to go deep into the earth so that it'll withstand wind, and it'll withstand storms, and it'll withstand the shaking of the ground. Well, God is doing that because what he's building has got to stand, and it's huge.
Yeah.
And what he's building is us. We're his holy habitation, his people. And what he's building, he wants to last. He doesn't want the winds to come and blow it and knock it down. He wants it to last because what he's pouring out and will continue to pour out in the days to come, you know, it's we won't be able to contain it. But he wants us to steward it. He wants us to fill and overflow and to be able to steward it, that we have that strong foundation in him, which righteousness and justice is the foundation of his throne.
Right.
That's the foundation that he wants to weather. So he's strengthening, he's filling in the breaches, he's placing the gates. You're the gatekeepers of the gates. And he's changing the atmosphere. One of the things is we wonder, you know, there's hundreds of people coming here a day. Well, that's not for no reason. It's because there's been worship here.
Yeah.
There's been prayer for decades and decades, and it's literally changed the atmosphere. People come in, and it's lighter here. Right. It's not about the music industry, although that may be part of it. It's because the atmosphere is different. It's changed, and there's that oppressiveness is gone. Anarchy is gone. They like it here. I want to move here. And that they're coming in floods, but we have to remember, too, that as they come in, they bring all that stuff with them, whatever they're carrying. They bring their false gods, their false whatever it is. So we can't let up and go, hey, yeah, we live in this great city and all this stuff is going on. It's a continuous thing that we have to go. They're building all these structures. We need to be going. We need to be praying. We need to continue to pray. And we know we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but it's powers and principalities and rulers. We don't wrestle against that. And spiritual warfare did get a bad rap back in the day. And listen, I feel really silly talking with Kimball Knightson. This man is the man of prayer. Yes, of prayer. So one of the, apostle pioneers of prayer. And yeah, absolutely. And so, yes, just agree. It's true. And I thank God that you're in our city, and I thank God for the promotions that he's giving you and what he's, you know, the sphere that he's opening up to you. That's not a coincidence. And all of us here, that we each have an opportunity to submit, to contend, to war. And when I say war, prayer for something greater than ourselves, because it's not about ourselves, it's about the generations. I loved what you said about water, that we're all water, because it's true, and we imprint. All matter has memory. So even each other, when I speak over you and what you speak over me, it's imprinted on us and becomes a part of us, and we reflect that and resonate that. And I'm a musician, so I'm talking in between two people that I know not. You got the wrong person up here. But when we go and we pray and we walk, what we're doing, what was there before, we're removing that and we're imprinting. We imprint each other, but we're also imprinting all these sites, all the land, and we say, open up gates, open up heavenly gates. The King of Glory's coming. The King of Glory's coming. The King of, who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. He's coming. Jesus is coming. Rejoice, land. Rejoice. Jesus is coming to this land. Open up the way. Open up gates. Jesus is coming to you. Rejoice. The earth is groaning and waiting and travailing for the sons of God to be manifest in the earth. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So as you go and as you pray, walk, and wherever you go, you open up, speak life, and speak the word of God.
Yes.
So it's a call to just submit and to contend for the covenantal promises of God. Okay, I got to share this one thing, and then we'll get to prayer. I promise. Everything that God does, he does generationally, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God is always connecting the generations to his covenant, and his word is his covenant. And, of course, Jesus is the mediator of that covenant. But when we pray, we have to remember, a lot of times we want to see answers right away. Well, I'm not seeing anything, and we can get discouraged. This may be a discouragement to, I want to speak to that, to pastors or to intercessors. But we have to remember that he's a covenant-keeping God, and he does things over generations and over time, not instantly. When I was in England and Ireland last year, I saw some of the most beautiful cathedrals. And my husband's a builder, so we really appreciate craftsmanship. And I just, we love that. When we're, like, watching TV, it's terrible. I'm like, oh, my God, did you see that staircase? Look at that coffered ceiling. Oh, my stars. This is how we do when we watch TV. We're looking at the background, and we're looking at the structure and how it's built and the craftsmanship, and it's like, oh, what did they say? You know, we missed it because we're like, wait, you know, maybe they're going to show it in the next shot. That's just, that's how we are, and my children are now the same way. They're all like, you look behind the scenes at what's going on. So I had heard, it reminded me of a story that I heard shared, and you guys may have heard this story too, and it was of an unknown builder, and he was carving, taking great pains to carve this intricate little bird in the top of a beam, and knowing full well that, you know, the roof was going to go over that beam, and you weren't even going to be able to see it. And someone asked him, why are you spending so much time on something no one will ever see? Wow. And the builder replied, because God sees. And he trusted that God saw everything that he did.
Yeah.
Wow.
The cathedrals that we saw, people would give their whole lives for a work they would never see finished.
Wow.
They showed up day after day. Some cathedrals took over 100 years to build. That's more than one person's lifetime. And so day after day, personal sacrifice, no credit, just showing up for a job that they would never see finished, and for a building their name would never be on.
Wow.
Yeah, one writer went on to say, no great cathedrals will ever be built like that again, because no one wants to sacrifice in that way.
Wow.
Well, can I just say that God says, I see you. No sacrifice is too small to notice. Every tear, every prayer ever prayed, every hour ever spent pouring into the Word so you could bring life to your congregation, all of that. He said, what we do may not be finished in our lifetime, and we may not ever get to live in that place, but if we build it, he will. And that's the whole point. So it's okay if we don't see the answers and the actions from our prayer. The next generation will. And that's the mindset.
Wow.
That we get. We're not building for it. We're not building our own kingdoms. We're building for the next generation, should the Lord, and the next generation after that.
Yes.
And so it's what I love what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, true prayer is neither a mere mental exercise nor a vocal performance. It is far deeper than that. It is a spiritual transaction with the Creator of heaven and earth. And that's what God is doing. There's a divine transaction, and something is taking place, whether you see it or not.
Yes.
It is being built.
Right.
And
right.
There's a call to battle for the destination and restoration of our nation. And I'm going to skip down because I want to get into prayer. I found it interesting because I want to, let me go back to this. What we're contending for, and what we're warring for, is the covenantal promises of God over this nation. It's all about contending for covenant. And we're his covenant keepers. And when we look around at our cities, and we see the darkness, and we see the depression, and we see the soldiers that are coming back, and there are more, and we hear on the news that 22 or a day are committing suicide. We have to realize that they've been over there under the Prince of Persia, where they have been praying five times a day in prayer. What are we praying for our men here? With a son in the military, as you well know, I got to visit him last month, and the birth of my first grandson. I have two granddaughters and two. They both came within 10 hours of each other. They weren't due then, but on St. Patrick's Day. It's so funny. Go to Ireland and pray and then come back with that. But what he shared with me is, I know, it was crazy time, double blessing. But what he shared with me is three of his men the month before committed suicide. This is a spirit that we're dealing with. This is a spirit in our nation. And so, yes, I'm thrilled that God is answering prayer and he's doing it, but it's going to take all hands on deck. And it's the voice of his love that says, will you go? Will you stand in that gap, in that place between me and the need, the breach? Will you be the Vav and stand in that place in the breach? My favorite scripture, you've quoted it before, number 16, 18, and when there was, Korah was in rebellion against God and Moses, and people are dying. It said 14,700 died of the plague. And I love, this is a perfect picture of an intercessor. It says of Aaron, he took the incense from the altar and he ran and he stood between the living and the dead that the plague would be stopped. And God stopped it. And that's the heart that we have, is to run and to stand between the living and the dead and say, no more. All this death and destruction has gone on, but no more. And that's our prayers. Our prayers do that. So I have so much on intercession, but I don't want to take time. One thing I do want to share is I heard Nigel Bigpon. How many know Apostle Nigel? Powerful, powerful, precious, precious apostle, fourth generation preacher of the gospel. And he was sharing on praying on the land. And he said, the gatekeepers, you need to speak to the land first and then the people. Which was interesting to me. He said, you need to remove the barriers when you pray to the land first and open up a clearing. Now, we just talked, he said, I call it a clearing, a path in the heavens, but Nigel calls it just clean up the land and pick up the spiritual trash. And that's, he makes it so simple. He said, he will be our God and we are his people. He said, immigrants, we love you, but you cannot keep your demonic beliefs here. People, you're welcome. We welcome all people. But your false gods are not welcome.
Wow.
So that's the difference. We don't battle people.
Wow.
So the heart motive is always love and compassion. And the purpose is of prayer is to, we approach God on his purposes locked up in the land. And especially during wartime and seasons of war.
Yeah.
I can share one more story, can
go,
I?
Go.
Okay.
Good.
So how many of you have read Reese Howell's intercessor book?
Yes.
Okay, I was ashamed to say as an intercessor that I had not read that book until December. The Lord put it on my heart and said, you have to read this book, you have to read this book. And I thought, okay, so I just went on Amazon and ordered it. And read it, and then after I read it, I thought, well, I can never call myself an intercessor again after reading that book. I'm like, thanks. So, and for those of you that don't know, he kept a prayer journal. He was a man of prayer and opened up a school of prayer in Wales, and he kept a journal and was on fasting and prayer. And during World War II, he prayed. There was times during that war where there was four cities that the Lord had put on his heart, him and his whole team, to pray for. They were Britain, Alexandria, Moscow, and Stalingrad. And so they would contend and continue to pray and contend until they felt the Lord give them victory over each city. Now, this they prayed all during the war, but there was four specific cities that the Lord really highlighted. And, well, after the war had ended, months later, there was a book published, and it said it was Hitler's four blunders that caused the doom of the Nazis. They included those same four cities that Reese Howell and his intercessory team travailed in prayer all through the night. I mean, they prayed until they got victory. And so it was written, and those dates were written in his personal prayer journal. So one of the things that Reese Howell prayed for was for the Jews to return to their land, to return to Israel, and for the gospel to be preached to every creature. At the time, though, we don't think about it, but at the time that Reese was praying, Israel wasn't on the map. There was no Israel.
Mm. Wow.
So he was praying all of this, and there was no Israel.
Okay.
So, yes, so their prayers literally redrew the map. Well, God can still do that today.
Yes.
So when we pray, our prayers and the boundaries, when the enemy is coming in, no, we just continue and press in prayer and continue with that heart of love. The beginning of this year, I was driving in the car on January 13th, and the Lord I heard on the radio someone speaking about an article from January 8th that 1,300 Fort Campbell soldiers from the 2nd Brigade Combat Team, called Strike Team, are leaving for Iraq to reclaim what was lost. Land that was fought for, land that was bled for and died for once already. When I heard that driving down the road, my spirit just shot up like a rocket, and I thought, that's exactly what God is doing. He's calling us to go back in and reclaim that what was lost, what was given to you. Corporately and individually, we need to go right back in and take back that land and retake that land, retake that territory. And he's giving it to us because he's partnering with us. And he's giving us the angelic host to do that.
Yes.
So I'm trying to just get through here quickly so we can pray.
This is good, Kim.
Mm-hmm. One other thing I want to say is in praying about war and with the rise of, you know, ISIS, and we heard Easter what happened with 65 people. I know this sounds, you know, this is reality. These are modern day martyrs. Christians are removed almost completely from Iraq. They're being beheaded. And we know this is going out. And I believe that part of what God is, the reason I bring this up, part of why God is pouring out so strongly now and in response to prayer with his angel armies, it is the blood of the martyrs that's stirring up the atmosphere. We have to realize we're going to stand with them. When we keep the perspective, that eternal perspective, we're going to stand with those that, will you deny Christ, or we're going to chop your hand off, or we're going to behead you.
Wow.
They chose Jesus. We're going to stand with them and in this nation. So it's important that what we're decreeing over our nation and over Islam. And we can't allow the enemy to paralyze us with fear. We can't allow all these young people being disillusioned, and we can't submit to hopelessness, but we cannot let hatred spread that wants to annihilate Jacob and Israel. That has to stop. And we cannot let the enemy blind us to God's vision for the Muslim people. That's huge. We cannot be deafened to the cry of Ishmael.
Right.
We have to remember that the first person ever given a name before their birth in the Bible, in Genesis 16:11, was Ishmael. Think about that. That's the first person before they were born that was given a name. Ishmael means God hears. God heard Ishmael's cry at the well, and God hears today. We've got 1.8 billion Muslims in the world. You don't think that's a harvest field that God wants to bring in? Absolutely. And we're hearing reports, and you probably hear more than anybody, Scott, Todd, of Muslims coming, seeing Jesus in dreams and visions and coming to Christ. So we've got a lot of work. We're contending, and we're at war, but we're equipped. We've got God's Air Force, his angelic host, with us. The last time I was here, and then we'll pray. I sound like a preacher, don't I? My second, 17th closing. The last time I was here at Worship City Alliance was actually on 6/4/14, and today is 4/6/16. And I don't know anything about numbers, that's up to y'all, but what I spoke on was covenant, and it was at the time that we were doing the Native American ceremony for the resolution of apology. And this group here, this group has a history, and there's been much happening in the generations, and God's going to honor this group and continue this group, because what we prayed into, and Todd, you were there that day too, and we prayed into covenant because the natives were coming. We didn't know who all was going to come.
Yeah.
At the resolution of apology later that month, mm-hmm. it had already passed in the House and the Senate. And it was in regards to, without getting back into history, the Indian Removal Act of 1830 and the Trail of Tears and our part in it as Tennessee and Andrew Jackson and all of that. But we had the terrible definition of being the core state, the first state with a broken treaty between Native American government and the European descendants, which was the Watagans. So we had that unrighteous root of a broken covenant. And we got that pulled up. Now, that I was only a part of that for the last 4 years before it passed. But there were people that were a part of it for decades. There's been people a part of it for 175 years before we came, crying out for righteousness and justice and healing to come. And if I could get into that story, which I won't, I have so many God stories that God's hand was so upon this movement. Since then, other states have adopted that and other states have put that in, but that was the first unrighteous root in the nation of broken covenant. Well, there's a blessing that comes on Tennessee because of that. But at the time I was here, we didn't know which leaders. We had a confirmation of 7 chiefs that were coming, but we didn't know who all was going to come and what they were going to say, because they were going to have an open floor to respond however they wanted to the public apology at the gathering. And we prayed, this group here prayed into that. And it was the most powerful, powerful time ever. And it was a historic time. And I've told the Lord, if you don't allow me to ever be a part of another prayer assignment, thank you. Thank you for letting me be a part of that. But we prayed at this and we talked about covenant and where that came from. And I actually shared on an appeal to heaven. So I found it ironic that 2 years later that I was asked to share, and it's on covenant and appeal to heaven. And how many know Dutch Sheets' appeal to heaven? What do you know anything about that? What's going on? Yes. Okay. Briefly, what it was, in talking about the synergy of the ages and how God is a covenant-keeping God, and how in Genesis 21, Abraham made a covenant with Abimelech, that Beersheba in Genesis 21 and 23 says that at the place of that covenant, Abraham planted a tamarisk tree, which was an evergreen tree, which was a place where he first heard the Lord God, Lord Olam El, the everlasting God, the God who is outside of time. He's before time, and he's past time. There, you know, he's out talking about time. He's outside of time. And he planted that evergreen tree there, and it was known that nobody planted an evergreen tree for themselves or their own generation, because you don't reap any benefit of it. It would be the next generation and the following generation that would reap a benefit of that tree. And so what Abraham was actually saying was, you will sit under the shade of my covenant with God.
Wow.
And that's what he's asking us to do. And we know that with the Iroquois Confederacy, that they use the evergreen tree as a symbol of covenant. And at the time, First Nation tribes, they fought amongst each other continually. They all came together and they came under an evergreen tree, and they said, we commit and we covenant to each other not to fight each other. I will help you and I will serve you. I will not fight you anymore. And they dug a hole in the ground and they buried all of their weapons, and that's where we got the term bury the hatchet. Mm-hmm. It was from the Iroquois Confederacy. So they covenanted. So the evergreen tree, and this was in 1775, and this is why this came out of my office. I brought this. It was the first flag used by Americans before the Stars and Stripes, was an appeal to heaven flag. And how that came about was George Washington commissioned it to fly over all the naval vessels before there was an actual navy, and later it flew over the battlefields. But he got the phrase, an appeal to heaven, from John Locke, who was a Christian and a philosopher and a writer, and he said, when there's no human way to breakthrough, when there's no human way to justice, there's still something you can do. You can appeal to heaven. So George Washington bowed his knee, and he appealed to heaven during the Revolutionary War. So this was the banner that first flew over the army then. So this flag has gone all over the world, and I wished I had, I didn't let Jerry know that I needed overhead. This flag has flown over, people have taken it all over the world and prayed. It's flown over, the Yazidis took it and prayed, on the borders of Turkey and Syria. And so this flag has been everywhere, and it's become, and this is what I'm sharing about, it's become a symbol of a prayer, appealing to heaven. We don't know what's going to happen. We know that only God, man's not going to save us. No man can save us. And we have to be awakened to the fact that it's only through God and to appeal to Him. And so I even took this flag to when I went to Ireland. This it was a smaller one. But I took it when I went to Ireland. And I went to the Hill of Tara. And that's where the seat of kings is. And that's the place that St. Patrick first shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. St. Patrick was not, number one, he wasn't Catholic and he wasn't Irish. He was taken to Ireland in slavery. He was abducted and taken into slavery. He fled from there, and it was 16 years before he went back. God instructed him to go back for the gospel. But at the seat of kings, these were pagan kings, and they used demonic forces. This wasn't just, I mean, there were all kinds of demonic things happening. He had the holy boldness to stand before this pagan king and present the gospel of Jesus Christ as the only way.
Wow.
And he did it all, use the simplicity of the shamrock, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So as I stood on the Hill of Tara, and I had the Appeal to Heaven flag, and my husband's recording it, the wind is blowing, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like Elijah on Mount Carmel. I loved it. What we do is we come into agreement.
Yeah.
I came into agreement with that holy boldness and the prayer that was on St. Patrick that would go and stand before wicked kings and release that again into this generation and into the next generation. God, I connect with God, what you did here on this hill against demonic structures and forces and rulers. And I say, come again to Ireland. Come again to America. Release that again, that holy boldness that will just share the gospel in simplicity. So it's been all over. So with this flag, it's become a symbol of appealing to heaven and appealing through the for the generational purposes of God. In our nation and for the nations all over the earth. And so I printed out a thing that you can go to the website and appeal. It's As One, a National Appeal to Heaven. And I've got it on the some papers that I printed out. If you'll go there and you can click on that, they'll send you daily prayers, daily updates. They're not going to bother you with anything else. But there's an app on there, and we tried to get our friend here to download it today. And just go to the App Store and download a Dr. Street app. And what it does, it will pull up. See, right now there's people in Middle Tennessee are already praying. It will download. It's a free app on your phone. And when you prayer walk, it just says start praying. You hit that, and as you walk, it tracks everywhere you go. And when you're done, you hit stop praying. And it'll give you a save option. And on the save option, you can type in what you prayed or not. You know, sometimes I type in, I'm praying awakening, revival, whatever it is. And sometimes I don't put anything. But it's tracking what has been. This is Ed Silvoso's Transform Your World website. He gave this to this assignment to be used freely. That anybody can use. So we see right now. Can somebody hold this? I got to show this too, because this is the whole point of why I'm coming today, is to share this assignment. Right now, as you can see, there's people praying in Tennessee. Let's see what they're praying about. Household salvation right here. You can click on it and see what they're praying about. Somebody's praying up in Clarksville, it looks like. Oh, somebody just started praying in Kentucky. Salvation of Fellowship. Unnamed prayer just now in Clarksville. So you can see what other people are praying on, but you can leave your prayers. And what it's doing that we don't see, it's drawing a red line and a bloodline.
Oh, wow.
And so, thank you so much.
What's the name of the app?
Adopt Your Street.
Mm-hmm. Here's the paper.
Yeah. And there by the door, you can go to the As One, a National Appeal to Heaven website, sign up, they'll send you daily prayer things. And what we're doing, and it started Easter Sunday, and it goes till May 5th, the National Day of Prayer. It's 40 days of fasting and praying. And if you only prayer walk your neighborhood, your grocery store, or if God directs you, I want you to go to this neighborhood in town. This, you know, make sure it's God that directs you. One of the roughest neighborhoods, and prayer walk. And what you're doing is you're pushing back those forces of darkness. You're inviting Holy Spirit to come in, and you're imprinting. Say, no, this is God's territory. This is God's land. I plead the blood of Jesus. Open up land. Open up. Ask the angels of the Lord to go with you. and invite God's holy presence. There's awakening come. Awakening come. Revival come. So that's all you're doing. So you can see all across the nation. Now, this is a two-part prayer assignment. I know I took a long circle to get here. Thank you for that, your patience. 40 days before the election, we'll be prayer walking and fasting again. And this is for all the places that were missed the first time. And there's going to be places in the nation that didn't get prayed for at all. And there will be sending out prayer missionaries that are going to go with a specific purpose of what you decree and what you speak imprints. And that is changing the spiritual climate over the nation.
Yeah.
All of these things that are happening, all these pockets of prayer are enforcing that. And that's going to happen more and more and more. God's not done with America. He's absolutely not done. There's souls to be saved.
Yes.
There's souls to be saved.
Yeah.
So if you'll download that, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by your spirit. And it's Psalms 23. So let's pray now. Can we pray? Give you time to download that app. Let's see what else is being prayed for. Oh, somebody's praying in Mississippi. What are they praying? Praying for the spirit of God to fall. See, I never looked at what everybody was praying before. I was always just used it for myself. So I'm going to hit start praying while we're here.
Yes.
And I'm not going to be drawing, you're not going to see a lot of movement here. So it's praying. But when we start praying, we're praying and it makes a difference. This spot is being prayed for. This part is being prayed for. So what I'd like to do is when Alberto, when he starts playing, because you just brought heaven in, we're going to pray and we're going to open this up for prayer. And how much time do we have? Because I know you guys... 12 minutes. I'm sorry I took so long. I meant to take more time in prayer. So let's pray. I'm going to open it up, come up, and pray. Now, what we're doing is we're agreeing. Let's ascend up to heaven where we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. We lean our head into Him. We hear what is Father saying that He wants released today in this meeting right now. We come into agreement with that. That's what we're going to decree into the earth. And we're going to imprint this area, this region, and each other with what God is saying.
Yes, that's good.
So, Father, let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. Reopen the wells. And Father, this Tennessee is a Psalm 110 state. So I pray, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength, your authority out of Zion, your church. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So, Lord, we call forth a volunteer army from the volunteer state to volunteer freely with a willing heart, a free will offering of themselves to the Lord first, a living sacrifice, a heart after you, a heart of intercession, a heart of compassion, a heart of love, to hear your heartbeat, to resonate with your heartbeat, and to release your heartbeat.
They shall declare your mighty acts, the glorious splendor of your majesty, one generation to the next. And they will sing the song, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. The The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all you have made. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. Lord, we do pray for the generations.
Yes.
We do say that it does not have to happen in our lifetime. It has to happen according to your will. And we will build ones. We call them out. The children, the teenagers, the young adults, we call them out and we will hand the kingdom to them and we will encourage them.
Yes.
And we will say, we see the glory of Jesus on you.
Yes.
And we will give them real responsibilities and real power and authority in the kingdom. And so we call them out, Lord. We bless them in Jesus' name. We bless them.
Yes.
Chapter 9, verses 11 through 17 over this whole scenario. And we just speak the word of the Lord over it by faith. As for you also, because of the blood of your covenant, O Lord, I will set the prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return, O Lord, to the stronghold. You prisoners of hope, even today I declare that I will restore double to you. For I have bent Judah, my bow, fitted the bow with Ephraim, and raised up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and made you like the sword of a mighty man. Then the Lord will be seen over the people, and his arrow will go forth like lightning, and the Lord God will blow the trumpet, and go with whirlwinds from the south. The Lord of hosts will defend them. They shall devour and subdue with sling stones. They shall drink and roar as if with wine. They shall be filled with blood like basins, like the corner of the altars. The Lord their God will save them in that day as the flock of his people. For they shall be like the jewels of a crown, lifted like a banner over his hand. Oh, how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Grain shall make the young men thrive, and new wine shall come to the young women.
Amen. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. O descendants of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. When they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation. From one kingdom to another, he allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake, he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Father, we thank you that, Lord, you all around this region are bringing us together. One heart, one mind, and one voice. In the name of Jesus Christ, empower us to take your truth, your promises. Lord, we appeal to heaven now in Jesus' name. We align ourselves with those who have gone before us, those who are gathering together on the West Coast and the East Coast this week, God. We pray for supernatural breakthrough. Lord, we contend with each other for heaven to rain down on us. God, we pray for revival in this nation. And God, that you would rise up in supernatural ways, God, this week, Lord. We pray for a movement that we have never seen before, except, Lord, we've read about prayed about, contended for, God. Have your way in Jesus' name.
Bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations. His marvelous works among the peoples. And let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness. People with faithfulness. Lord, as your trees here, fill us with your joy today. And may we be that giant forest in this city to pour out your moisture, your anointing on the nations, Lord. You have sent the nations to us, Lord God. They are here among us, oh Lord God. Bring your spirit to the nations, Lord God. Use us, Lord God, to reach these people. May all their idols fall down before us, Lord God, as we go forth in your power and your strength and in your joy. It is great joy to tell others about you.
Rising of the sun in the east. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And Abba, I believe this verse, the comma's in the wrong place, as my Jewish friends say, that it should say, when the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. And I just see this flood coming. Lord, your glory from the west and from the east this next weekend. And there's a flood coming, God. And we just say, yes, Lord, release the floodgates of heaven in Jesus' name. From the east and from the west. You say, when the enemy comes in, that's your time to pour out your flood. Just like with Noah, your flood poured out. And it was a flood of judgment against the enemy. And your righteous ones rode the top of the flood. And it shifted everything. It was a new beginning. So we declare this is a season of new beginnings. We call down your flood, God. Flood the enemy. Bring your judgment. We do not want to judge the enemy. We want to be one together. With one prophetic word. He worked for 100 years with one prophetic word. Lord, let us be obedient with the little words you give us, God. Let us work for 100 years for generations. Let us raise up generations that will continue obeying your words, God. That we build cathedrals in the heavenly realms.